going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
He's Jeff Phelps. I'm Andy Baskin. Ready for a little bit more insight on this, my friend?
I certainly am.
All right, let's go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Let's bring in a man that knows the first pick of the Browns very, very well from his days at the University of Michigan, Mason Graham. As he joins the Browns, we turn to the radio analyst, a man that played there, played for the Lions, knows quite a bit about the game, so we're excited to have John Jansen on the hotline. Hi, John. How are you?
Hey, good afternoon. How are you guys?
Hey, we're doing great. All right, so what did the Browns get last night? Tell me about our Christmas present.
He's a guy that can take over a game, and I know you guys don't need that because you guys got Myles Garrett, but on the interior of a defense, he can have as much of an impact as you're going to see from the defensive tackle position. He could take on double teams. He could take one-on-one blocks, shed blocks. He can make plays down the line of scrimmage. We all want to see tackles for loss, and those are the headliners. The sacks are the headliners, and he's going to get plenty of those. But it's those hidden plays where he beats a double team and he stops something for no gain, and now it's second and 10. And, you know, he's a guy that works extremely well with other players. I think they're going to pair him up with Myles Garrett, and you're going to see T.E. Twist, E.T. Twist. He's a very versatile player, but the best thing about him is he is consistent. You're going to get the same thing from him every single day. You're not going to have a bad day, and he's just going to be a great producer for that defense.
John, your perspective on this is as good as somebody's going to get if you're looking for a perspective, because as a 10-year offensive lineman in the NFL playing right tackle and then watching Mason Graham play, you know, during his career at Michigan – the one knock about him that everybody said was, well, his arms aren't good. And I thought, did you watch the productivity? And then everybody said, but boy, can he play. And to me, that always gets back, you know, draft analysts look at all kinds of, you know, this. And I always think, yep, is he a good football player? This guy's a good football player. And some of those other things don't matter in your estimation? From what I can tell?
No, they don't. I get so annoyed when people talk about, you know, body measurements. And there's a place for that. There's no question. But when you play at a top program in college football and you play against other top programs, guys that you're going to be playing against at the next level, you turn the film on. And that's your number one evaluator. Everything else should go to confirm or deny or however you want to see, you know, arm length, body weight, speed, all of that stuff. But the number one thing should be turn the film on. Can he play football? Is he productive against the best talent? And Mason Graham checks all those boxes. So not everyone is going to be cookie cutter. Not everyone is going to have the ideal dimensions. We're not always drafting guys that are fitted for a gold jacket to begin with, but we see guys throughout the course of all seven rounds that outperform their stereotype of their body fit and all of those different things. Mason Graham, you turn it on, and I don't want to ruin your ratings, but everybody in the state of Ohio knows exactly what they're getting with Mason Graham in big games.
No, I get it. It's the same reason why Ohio State fans for years should have always rooted for Michigan to win throughout the season, so the Ohio State-Michigan game meant more every year. It's the same. It's that same theory. And I got to tell you, the thing that I mean, look, I love Ohio State, but man, when someone comes to play for the Browns, I don't care where they played. I don't, and that's why I think that was bumming me out last night. I'm like, did anyone not see this guy destroy the Buckeyes time after time again? Look what they just got, and now he plays for the Browns. And that's to me, that's all that matters. If you truly love the Browns and you're in that position, so I don't know. And Detroit,
you don't mind
go ahead.
You don't mind me jumping in on that.
Sure.
Let me give you a player's perspective on that.
Okay.
When I left Michigan and I went to the Redskins, now the Commanders,
right?
I played with Big Daddy.
Yeah.
And I played with Sean Springs. And those guys, to this day, some of my closest friends. But when you play with guys that come from Ohio State and you're a Michigan guy, when you play with teammates that are from Penn State and you're from one of those other two schools, or Michigan State, what you know is that they understand what it takes to be successful at that level. You know that they understand what has to be done on fourth and goal. On either side of the line of scrimmage, they have been in that mix. They know it. You want those guys as teammates. Those were some of my best teammates. And you're right. It doesn't matter at all where you played college ball. And I mean, up here in Detroit, right? We just drafted, we swapped defensive linemen, and I couldn't be more excited to get Ty Leak up here because he fits our defense so well.
Right.
The affiliation with college, it ends when you declare for the NFL or at graduation. What you want is great teammates.
Yeah, it's not like you're walking through the press box and you see Jim Lachey and you're like, oh, I forgot the fact that he was probably one of the best Redskins too, and I can understand my world there. No, I was Ohio State, Michigan. I got right. You know, it's ridiculous. It's and by the way, the truth of that is, it may be like the week of the game, guys might start, you know, ribbing each other a little bit. But I mean, when you're in the pros, you're worried about your family, right?
Well, you are, and what makes the rivalry so fun? And fans, they could take it to a completely uncomfortable, unnecessary level, but guys that played in that game, when your teammates at the next level, all right, you make little wagers, right? Hey, if we win, you wear our jersey, you win, I'll wear your jersey. And it is as painful as it gets, but that's what the great rivalries are. They're historic, they're important, and they include great players and great moments. When you get to the next level, what do you want? You want great players, and you want more great moments.
Hey, as a former member of Washington, too, like when you look at what Jaden Daniels did last year, I kind of think that had a little bit of
a mushroom, John.
You know what I'm saying? Like psychological impact on this draft a little bit because he was so successful. And now if you're the Browns and you're looking for a quarterback, everyone's looking for the next him, right?
Well, yeah, and there's not a lot of next Tims, right?
Right.
Everybody's looking for that every year. And honestly, the reason Cam Ward went back to and transferred to Miami, played another year of college football, because he knew he wasn't going to stack up against last year's class of quarterbacks. Now all of a sudden in a weak class, he becomes the number one overall pick. If you put him in last year's draft, maybe he's drafted ahead of Bo Nix. Probably not. And now he's the only quarterback, well, not the only quarterback, but the highest quarterback taken. Only two in the first round, and we're looking at a draft like we had with Kenny Pickett, where there just wasn't a high-quality quarterback in that draft.
John Jansen joining us. He's the color analyst on the Michigan Broadcasting Network and also a former 10-year offensive lineman in the National Football League. Will Johnson is a Michigan player who has a big-time grade on him and big-time injury concerns, apparently, John. He's on the board. Browns have the first pick in the second round. Browns have already taken Mason Graham. They want a big defense. Would you take Will Johnson? Would you think about Will Johnson? Are the injuries a concern?
Well, that's going to be a matter of, the injuries are a concern. They're certainly a concern. And I know he missed half the season this year. He didn't perform at the combine or his pro day. And so they're a major concern. And he never played a full season at Michigan. When he's healthy, and he is on the field playing, he is one of the best athletes on the field. He's one of the best football players on the field. The problem is if you can't make the club in the tub and you can't produce for your team, somebody's going to take him in the second round. Somebody, you know, and you're going to get great value if he can stay healthy. What needs to happen, and I'm sure the front offices have all done this, their investigation. How real were the injuries? How significant were the injuries? Are there any lasting implications from those injuries? Guys are drafted with ACLs, and not saying that that's it, but that's a much more difficult injury to recover from, and it takes a lot longer. Guys have shoulders. They have surgery. Everyone knows what the expected recovery time is. The mystery right now, and I think this is more in his camp, is the fact that no one knows. Their speculation, was it turf toe? Was it a hamstring? Is it now a knee? Like, what is the truth? And without knowing, as fans and as people who cover these teams, it's really hard for us to say exactly what it is. And so it's really going to come down to whoever drafts Will Johnson. They're going to get the potential of great value, very high upside, but the risk is going to be, is he going to be able to stay healthy at the NFL level? Because it is infinitely more violent, and the season is longer, the wear and tear is there. That's going to be the question that somebody has to answer. And wherever that equation works out, is it we're willing to take that risk at the top of the second, or are we willing to take that risk middle second, late second, early third? I don't think he lasts that long, but that's where you got to do that equation. What does it mean for your team, and are you willing to gamble on the upside of Will Johnson?
John, you just mentioned the violence in the NFL game, how physical it is and everything else. Browns had a chance to take a guy that so many folks think you know, could be this unbelievable talent that we've never seen in the NFL before in Travis Hunter. And I kept thinking, wide receiver at two? No. Corner at two? Probably not. Combo? Okay, but nobody's ever done that before. Can he pull this off?
I think he eventually can. I mean, it's going to be so hard because at the NFL level, it's not just about talent. There are a handful of guys that I've played with, whether it's Calvin Johnson, Charles Woodson, Champ Bailey, who just, I mean, God bless them with the DNA to play football at a level unbeknownst to anyone else. But those were some of the hardest workers. They could have gone out there and just played the game, any position, and been outstanding. I don't know, in terms of film study and being able to master the corner position, it's hard for rookies. I mean, we don't see a lot of those guys come in and have 7-8 interceptions in a season. You know, and it's the same thing on the other side. You don't often see guys come in and they're instantly 1,000 yards receivers. So what are you getting on both sides of the ball? I think he certainly can. It's going to take time to develop on both sides of the ball. And I'm just not sure there's enough hours in the day to do that as a rookie. I think with Mason Graham, you get what you see, and you're going to get a very consistent player. You're getting a known quantity. And I think where Cleveland is right now, especially a known quantity that's not just going to be there for 4 or 5 years, he's a guy that you plug and play for the next decade. I think it was a brilliant move, plus the return you guys got. I want to know who was doing the negotiations because I need that individual to be my agent now.
That was a big-time return. It really was.
It was great. Hey, thank you so much. We really appreciate your time, John, and we'll talk to you soon. Hopefully maybe a little bit more during the regular season. Love to talk some college football with you along the way, too. Thanks, man.
Give me a shout anytime. Love talking to you.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
You guys, take care.
And it's not like he's giving you the college perspective on this. This is a guy that played in the NFL for 10 years. He gets it. He understands it. So if you need a reason to kind of feel a little bit better about this, because you're kind of, I mean, I don't have any problem with going, man, I can't believe they went defense. I can't believe it. The offense was so bad last year. How in the world could they go defense? Now,
I'll tell you how.
Here's their chance to figure out the offense because they have all these picks now. And I mean, they could really, really, really help out the offense tonight within three picks, 33 and 36. Let's go.
Can I add this to that?
Sure.
2 years ago, they won how many games?
11-ish.
Made the playoffs, didn't they?
Yeah.
How'd they do that?
Offense?
No.
With defense? I'm just laughing.
They had a really good defense,
didn't they? Yeah, they did.
And that's how they made the playoffs. Well, what are they trying to get back to? Their defense wasn't as good last year.
No.
And they're trying to get back to that, apparently. And guess what? I get it. So do you.
Are we expecting, if they don't trade again to start the draft tonight, are we expecting a running back with one of these first two picks? Running back and what? Wide receiver? Sounds good to me.
If you want me to put some money on it, I'd put money on this. Right now, and let's just assume they stay there.
And by the way, I'm not in a hurry for a quarterback right now. Not with these next two picks.
Right now, they have four picks in the second and third round. So tonight they have four draft picks. I would bet on wide receiver, running back, offensive lineman being three of the four picks. And if you wanted to throw something else in there, maybe if they don't go with one of those three positions, quarterback. I still have a feeling about Jalen Milroe. And Andy, supposedly such a great running quarterback, if you watch tape of him, he's unbelievable running the football. He really is. And his arm is through the roof. And his accuracy is in the sewer. So he would be a project. But man, can he run. Man, can he throw. And man, he has no idea where it's going. Or at least he doesn't put it in the right spot. That's the kind of guy you bring in, you develop, and you play Kenny Pickens or Joe Flacco. And then you see what you have with Jalen Milroe. The one thing I think we all need to understand, at least I feel this way, You picked up a first-round draft choice for next year, correct?
Correct.
There's no guarantee that quarterback class, though it's considered much better
today,
will produce the guy you need at the time you need him. In other words, when you're on the clock. Can you move up and get him? Maybe. But if you have a chance to take a guy, let's just say they're really high on Milroe or Shuck or Sanders, and you have a chance to get him, well, why wouldn't you bring him in? We've seen other teams have more than one good young quarterback, and they fight it out, and they figure out who's going to be the quarterback, and then they trade the other guy. There's nothing wrong. I mean, wouldn't it be nice to have too many good quarterbacks?
Yes.
When's the last time we ever had that? Been a while.
Have you ever looked? NFL Draft Buzz does a really, really good job of just kind of ranking these. It's the way they lay it out, and then they come up with ratings, their ratings for the quarterback situation. So let me put this in perspective for you. For this year, Cam Ward, the number one overall selection, was an 89.4. 89.4 and became the number one pick in the draft last night. If you want to find an 89.4 in next year's draft, according to NFL Draft Buzz, that lands you Drew Aller. Arch Manning is a 93.5.
And by the way, Arch,
Nico Amaliva
Arch hasn't played yet really in college football.
Nope.
And next year is not the only year of eligibility he has. He doesn't have to come out, so... Just keep that in mind.
And then the kid from Tennessee that's going to USC is number two. And he's ranked 90.
Aliyeva.
Yeah, and he's got a 90 ranking. So if you want to look at it that way, the guy that was number one, which makes me wonder, Jeff, I know we talked about this, and I think Drew Aller did the right thing by staying at Penn State.
Yeah, but he might have been off the board already.
Would Drew Aller have been number one this year in the draft?
Would he have been number two ahead of Jackson Dart?
If you just want to go by this ranking alone, His ranking is the same as the guy that went number one overall.
Yeah.
So
you never know.
Phone lines are packed. Again, is a slight advantage for Love It, Hate It, and Let's See. The slight advantage goes to Love It right now.
Oh, there you go.
Let's See is in second, and Hate It is right behind Let's See, but only by one vote. So will you make a difference in this? I've been waiting the longest. Let's go to Greg in Hudson. Hi, Greg. How are you?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, what's up, Greg?
Oh, I love it. I think it's a great trade. Yes, okay. Love it. And the thing I don't understand why people do not love it is the guy we're getting in Mason Graham has just as much of a chance of going to the Hall of Fame as Hunter does, in my view. And I equate Mason Graham as getting Joe Thomas. like we did years ago.
Yeah, you heard what John Jansen just said, 10 years.
I didn't have to hear that. I knew that, okay? He's that good of a player, and people don't realize that, okay? Mm-hmm. And you're putting with Myles Garrett in that front four. You got Hall from last year, who's a young dude, and you got the two young ends on the other side. The thing they need to do with one of these picks, and I have to disagree with you on this, this team lacks a linebacker. A guy who can, you know, clean up the mess that the other guys went through. They don't have, you know, when with JOK's, question mark.
Hey, at least he walked back in the building last week. That was the best video we saw all offseason.
Personally, I don't think he's ever going to play again. I'm sad to say. No,
they were pretty excited when he walked back in yesterday. Go ahead, sir.
So would I. I'm glad he's walking too, but that's different from playing football. Okay. But I just think that they need to get a linebacker in one of these picks, these next four picks, that can, like, you know, take over the defense, you know, quarterback it, get everybody in, you know, just be in tune with everything. They got good DBs, not a good, front four. That would be the icing on the cake. And then the rest of this draft, just build your lineup, your offensive line, you know, get your skilled players, and, you know, set the table for next year and go in for quarterback.
Greg, I'll buy what you're saying about the linebacker. It's just that 15.2 points per game is still killing me. So they need some help on offense first. Thank you.
I'll bet they get a linebacker, but I'll bet it's not tonight.
D is in Cleveland. Hey, D.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, love it, hate it. Let's see.
You know what? I got a strong case of hate it with a little bit of let's see.
Oh, you got.
They have shots for that.
No, they don't. You just got to put a little mixer in there. You'll be good.
Yo, I hate the fact that we traded down. I one thing that I constantly heard about this Watson trade is how many draft picks we missed.
Yep.
We missed. And then as soon as we get a draft pick to take a Hall of Famer, blue chipper, we trade down and don't take him. I do like Mason. I'm not mad at that pick at all. But also, on this morning on your show and on ESPN, so I've heard a panel of Steelers fans, and I just heard a Michigan man say how much they liked it, which lets me know that's not good for us. they have no reason to want us to do anything good.
D, what do you want tonight at 33? Give me a position. I don't even have to give me a player.
I think at 33 we go Gentry.
Henderson.
Sanders, excuse me. Henderson at 36. I would like to see us take Sanders and Henderson.
All right.
And then work everything else from there.
D, thank you. Appreciate it. Let's keep rolling through some of these phone calls. I know folks have been waiting a long time. Dennis is in Fairview. Hi, Dennis.
Dennis.
Hey. Love it. First of all, I didn't want anything to do with Temu Primetime, but even more than that, Sonny Weaver got on the phone and took advantage of the young GM in Jacksonville. And now he's going to turn to his coach and ask him which running back he wants.
Why? Because he can, right?
Yep. No, I mean, we moved back three spots. It's not like we dropped from 2 to 30 or something like that. You got a guy that, outside of Cleveland, who people have been hypnotized into Hunter, you know, it was obviously a top five pick. We got it five. And you picked up another pick tonight that you're going to use, and you picked up a first-round pick next year. And the thing is, everybody keeps talking about, oh, they've done this before, and the Browns' draft record and everything like that. But let's be honest. Since this group has been here, they've had two first-round draft picks because they traded away all of them for swinging for the fences when they went for Watson and when they went for OBJ. Granted, they whiffed on the left tackle. Yeah, absolutely. And you got the guy last night. But really, and Greg Newsome. So you've had a single, a strikeout, and, you know, we'll see what happens. But that's all you've had in the first round with this group. You can't hold this group responsible for Ray Farmer.
Gotcha. No, you're right, Dennis. All right, Dennis, have a great weekend. Appreciate you. We'll come back. We'll put a ball on the show. I'll give you the final score on this. Love it, hate it. Let's see. If you're still online, I'm going to give you a chance to vote. So hang tight. We're coming back. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan, 216-474-0092.